Good morning.
It's good to be here with you all again. Those of you who are here back around last October or so, or September, may remember that I was a part of the Good News on the Move team, and it's been a joy and a privilege to go around the United States sharing God's Word, sharing with people about the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's really no better news in the world than what those of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have received Him as our Savior than the news that we have to share with others. Anything that you might work for a company, anything your company might have to share with people, anything that children might learn or hear at school, anything they might hear out on the streets, at home, there's nothing greater than the truths, the riches of what God has offered us in Christ. And so it's the privilege of each of us who know Him as our Savior to share about Him with others. Some may have the gift of evangelism and may assist in training others, and even those who don't can do the work of an evangelist in terms of sharing the gospel. That's our privilege to be ambassadors of Christ, ministers of reconciliation. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are so great and so awesome, God. We thank You for Your compassion, for Your mercy, for Your comfort. We thank You for Your Spirit to guide us, to lead us into all truth. We thank You, God, that You teach us. We ask, Lord, that You would teach us this morning things that You would have us to know, to understand, to consider. May our hearts be stirred up, Lord, to love You more, that we might love You with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And that just like that woman who broke that, who poured that perfume upon the Lord Jesus, that we might do what we can by Your grace, by Your power, not only this morning, but this afternoon and throughout the rest of our lives. May we do what You call us to do, Lord. May we walk humbly with our God. We thank You, God, that You are so great and so awesome, and we pray that each of us would be stirred to continue to worship You and to bow before You and to honor You in our hearts and in our lives. For Your glory, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Eric Smith, and I'm from the Albany area near Albany, New York. And as a young child, I realized that I was a sinner, that I had done some bad things, many bad things, and that the only way that I could ever be forgiven was through the Lord Jesus Christ, that I couldn't be saved by good works. I couldn't be saved by going to church. I couldn't be saved by going to Sunday school or children's meetings. I couldn't be saved by my parents, but the only one who could save me was Jesus, and that He died on the cross, and He'd risen from the dead so that believing on Him, I might be saved. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as a young child, I called on the Lord and asked Him to save me, believing He could and believing He would. And I trust that as a young child that I was saved. And my life hasn't always been all that it should be. When I was 16, I went to Camp Galilee to volunteer on staff and as a counselor. And up there, I saw young people who, basically, for all I could see, they were entirely submitted in their lives to God and to the Lord Jesus. And it was a wonderful thing to see, because I could see that I didn't know that this was what it was at the time, but now looking back, I can see that they had the fruit of the Spirit. They had love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, that these things were abounding in their lives. And I realized that whatever it was that they had, that that's what I wanted. And so that summer, somebody was speaking on John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. And in that passage, Jesus, speaking to people, He said, He referred to his to those who he knew as his children, as children of God. He referred to them as sheep. And he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Last week I was in Blaisdell, and I was speaking with a woman who used to own some sheep. And she said that when somebody else, she'd take somebody else back to see her sheep, and they would call the sheep, but the sheep wouldn't come to this other person. This other person might have food, and they might try and, you know, beg them to come over with the food, and the sheep wouldn't come. But when she would call the sheep would come to her, because they were her sheep, and they knew her voice. Well, when I was 16, I heard this message about how Jesus said that his sheep hear his voice, and he knows them, and they follow him. Jesus said, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So that evening, basically since I was a young child up until that evening, I always struggled with, am I saved? Because I heard different preachers saying, you know, pray these words, or saying, if you're not sure that you're saved, I heard some say, if you're not sure, then that means you're not saved. I don't necessarily agree with that, because I know that I struggled with, am I saved, am I not saved? But here in these words, we find that Jesus says that his sheep hear his voice, and he knows them. He knows who his sheep are. If you're his sheep, he knows you. Even if you sometimes wonder whether you're his sheep or not, if you're his sheep, he knows that you're his sheep. He knows his sheep, and they follow him. And as I considered those words that night, I realized that in certain aspects of my life, I'd followed Jesus in terms of not doing certain things. But in terms of seeking to be completely submitted with all my heart to the Lord and his desires for my life, there were times when I prayed that, and in a sense, I think I really wanted that. But at times, I was also very, very stubborn and afraid maybe of what God might call me to do if I just completely submitted to him. But seeing the lives of the other counselors there, I realized that there's nothing better I could do than to submit to him. And I realized that whatever plans that he might have for my life would be better than any that I could ever make up for myself. And so it was my desire that night to not only follow Jesus partially, but to follow him completely. And so I, in a sense, surrendered to the Lord that evening. And now I'm thankful that I can say that I know that I'm his sheep, and I hear his voice, and he knows me, and I follow him. Unfortunately, I don't always follow him perfectly as I ought to, but that is the desire of my heart. And I thank God for scriptures where God says that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so that doesn't give us a license to sin all we want so that God can forgive us, but rather when we find that we have sinned and we've chosen the wrong, that we need not hide like Adam and Eve sought to hide from God, but rather we can come to God and we can confess our sin and know that in Christ that we've found forgiveness, and we can enjoy a close relationship and a close walk with God. We need not fear him and hide from him and be afraid of coming to the Lord. And I think of the prodigal son who'd returned to his father, and he was fearful of what the father would say, but the father came and hugged him and blessed him and was glad to have him back. And whatever your situation may be, I just encourage you to confess any sin you may know of to the Lord that you might not have confessed to him yet, and that you might know his forgiveness, and that you might know close relationship with the Lord. Jesus said, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." So it's wonderful that when we're Jesus' sheep, he gives us eternal life, and we shall never perish. not today, not tomorrow, not a year from now, not 10 years, not a million years. But when we're His, we are His. And He holds us in His hand, and nobody's able to snatch us out of His hand. Jesus said, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And so that night, I learned the wonderful truth that once we're Jesus' sheep, once we're His, that we're His forever, and that He holds us, and that He keeps us, and we're kept by the power of God through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, I wanted to share with you a little bit about my testimony, and then I also wanted to share with you a bit about the greatness of God and who God is. And these are things that we may all be familiar with, but they're things which, at least in my life, I know it helps for me to be reminded of them. Because, you know, I know that God is great. I know that He's awesome. I know that He created the heavens and the earth. But as we review what God has said, it can, in my mind and in my heart, help me to understand it more, and help to renew my mind. And in evangelism and sharing the gospel with others, I think that one of the essential things for us is that in our hearts and in our lives, that we be filled with worship for the Lord, with just praising Him and giving thanks to His name. If we look for a moment in 1 Peter, chapter 2, starting with verse 4, it says, "Coming to Him," that is, coming to Christ, "coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. This world may desire to have nothing to do with Christ and nothing to do with His exclusive claims of being the way, the truth, and the life. But it's the truth, whether the world likes it or not. And it's our privilege to come to Him, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So it's our privilege, even as we were doing in song this morning, to worship the Lord and to praise Him as is a holy priesthood, a priesthood set apart to God. "Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture," verse 6, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense." To those who reject Christ and want nothing to do with who He is, the Son of God, the living bread which came down from heaven that we may eat of Him and never die, the world may want nothing to do with Him. And so to Him, to the world, He may be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and they may take offense at His claims. "They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And so for those of us who have obtained mercy through faith in Christ, it's our privilege as God's royal priests to proclaim His praises, both at times like this morning, as well as before the world, that they might know how great a God, the Almighty God, the One whom we serve, and that they might know just how awesome He is. So it's important for us to know who God is and to be delighting in Him, that our mouths and our hearts might just overflow with praise towards God, and that we might just desire to be speaking of Him and of sharing with Him before others, because when we really consider who He is, there's no one greater. And the riches that we have in Christ, the inheritance we have in Christ, there's nothing greater. And the family that we have in Christ, and the eternal joy and pleasure that we will have with God, I believe there's nothing that compares with that. And so as we set our hearts and our minds on things above, then the Lord can provide us with opportunities to declare the greatness of our God and the awesome salvation which he provides. But let's go back to the beginning of the Bible, to the book of Genesis, and we'll read a few verses there and also consider some of the great truths contained there. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we know that God is the one who created. He's the one who made the heavens and the earth. It was by his great power, by his word, that things came into being. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that the things which are seen were not made of things. That's Hebrews chapter 11. You can stay there in Genesis. We'll be back there. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So God created the heavens and the earth. On the first day, God created light and separated light from darkness. On the second day, he divided the waters below from the waters above. The third day, he divided the waters below and had dry ground appear. He created grass, herbs, and fruit trees. The fourth day, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars also. On the fifth day, he created sea creatures and birds. The sixth day, he created cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth, and people, male and female, in his image, so that we might know him and have relationship with God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. And so we find that creation is not the work of some just chaos that under no control. We find it's not just the result of some cosmic force, but creation is the work of God who created the heavens and the earth. And God, who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, so that if we believe on him, we can be saved and have eternal life and live with him forever. In Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2, perhaps it was written by Moses. In Psalm 90, it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God always has been, and he always will be God. And there are different religions that have popped up on the scenes, whatever religion you might choose, but God, from everlasting to everlasting, the true God, is God, has been God, will be God. And God in his word has taught us the truth about himself, and he's reliable. God is powerful. He's able to preserve his word and to teach us the truth. And there are many religions these days that have claimed to have a book from God, and then they try and manipulate and transform the things in the Bible to say things other than the truth. But we know that God throughout time has spoken through his prophets, and he's taught us the truth. And so we have the truth of God in his word, and we need not be confused by religions that have come after Christ and have claimed other things than what Christ clearly taught and what God has clearly revealed to us in his word. And these other religions, they can't compare in terms of the prophecies that God's given us of who Christ is and what he would do. For instance, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would perform miracles, that he would heal the sick, that he would proclaim liberty to the captives, that he would die for our sins, that they would cast lots for his clothing so that it would not be torn, that he would be sold for the 30 pieces of silver. All these things, many of them in the control of his enemies in terms of what they were doing with and to him. And yet, by the power of God, God worked all this out just according to his plan so that we might know him and love him. Let's turn now to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. We went back to God's account of creation and how everything began. And now let's go back to God's account of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. John chapter 1, starting with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If we skip down to a moment to verse 14, and the Word, which in verse 1 we read was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word, God, became flesh and dwelt among us in the form of the Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. If we go back up to verse 2, speaking of the Word, which became flesh, the Lord Jesus, in God incarnate, he was in the beginning with God prior to the incarnation, prior to taking on flesh. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or did not overcome it. Even today, many people do not comprehend the light. And they say, well, it just doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand. And without the Spirit of God at work, and without submitting to hearing to what God says, people will not understand because God's Word is spiritually discerned. But we know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so it's our privilege to proclaim his word and to know that God desires for people to be saved. Some familiar verses in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. A good verse to share with somebody to help them to see that they're a sinner. Sometimes people have many different kinds of arguments and kind of smoke screens or things that they may try and throw up to just resist considering the truth of God. But sometimes, if they're willing, we might be able to share with them some scriptures. And the scripture, the Word of God is living and active. And it pierces, it goes in, and it does its work. And people's arguments, they're temporarily removed and displaced, and they begin to comprehend the truth of God, at least for a moment. In Romans 3:23, God says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And a question we might ask someone is, how many of us have sinned? And we know that we've all sinned. We've all sinned. And many people might think that, oh, well, you know, everybody's a sinner, so that's not such a big deal. But as we know in Romans chapter 6, in verse 23, we find what we earn by sinning. Many times, as human beings, we go and we work for somebody, and we receive wages for the work that we do. Well, there are wages that we receive from sinning. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what my neighbors, your neighbors, your coworkers, those we meet on the street, that's what everybody earns by sinning, is death. And so it's our privilege to share with them that if we come to God on the basis of what we can earn and deserve and merit, what we can receive is death. But if we come to God on the basis of the gift he offers, in Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's the gift that God offers to each one of us that can be received today if it hasn't yet been received. The gift of God is eternal life. And where is it found? It's found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's God's desire to save us from sin's penalty, from the hell, the lake of fire that we would justly deserve, to be saved, to be present with the Lord. Jesus, God says that if we deny him, he also will deny us. That if we confess Jesus before men, that Jesus will also confess us before the Father who is in heaven. Jesus said that he came to his own and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to be called children of God, even to those who believe on his name. And if we've received him, then Jesus said to his followers, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you to myself. And so if we receive him, one day he will receive us to be there with him. And it's all by grace. It's all by God's kindness and the riches of his love and his goodness towards us. That our neighbors, co-workers, friends, strangers can become children of God through faith in Christ. And it's our privilege to share that with people. I have here a set of verses. There's nothing special about these cards in particular. There is something special about these verses, and that is that they come out of the Bible, God's Word. And so it's the truth, and we can trust God's Word. We can rely on his Word. Because even though other things will change, the Word of God endures forever. And so there's nothing better we can do than build our lives on God's Word. But I have here some verse cards, and there's six different verse sections. And each of the sections is printed on two different cards. And let's see. I need somebody to volunteer. Maybe Mr. Andrews, would you volunteer to help me out here? Okay. So we have here 12 cards with six different verse sections. And without looking, I'll just move these around a bit. Okay. And I need you to tell me when to stop. Okay. And now what we'll do is we'll deal out to you six of these cards, okay, without looking at them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Now, I just want to let you know ahead of time that what's going to happen here, it isn't a miracle, okay? I mean, Jesus, God, he can turn water into wine. He can bring life from that which is dead. And the things Jesus did were really amazing, and the things which only God can do, including forgiving sins. But through Christ, any who trust in him can be forgiven. So again, this isn't a miracle, but it may be pretty amazing, okay? And in addition to what I've already shared, I'd like to share with you that about everlasting life offered to you. Okay, if you haven't yet received it, it's offered to you. God says that now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Today you can be saved. So this is about everlasting life offered to you. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with that first word, everlasting. Okay, and everlasting, we understand that goes on and on and on and on and on forever. Okay, and that's the kind of life that God offers to those who will trust in him and have relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. So what we're going to do for each letter of that word, either I'm going to move one of my cards to the bottom of the pile or you're going to move one of yours to the bottom of your pile. Okay? And you're going to tell me which we're going to do when, okay? So E, V, E, R, L, A, S, T, I, N, G. Okay. Now, if I misspell a word, please let me know, because that would affect things in a tragic sort of a manner. Okay, so now what we need to do, we need to take our top card and hold it up for everybody to see. Okay? There they are. Now this verse, but God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When we've trusted the Lord as our Savior, And when we're faithful to do as God desires, even giving gifts to further God's work, we can trust that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The scriptures tell us that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And so he's trustworthy and he's faithful. Jesus said that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, the other things we need, like food and clothing, they will be added to us. Okay, everlasting life. What's this about? It's about everlasting life offered to you. To you, okay? God offers you everlasting life. And so now we're going to do the word life, okay? L-I-F-E. Okay, now let's hold up our verses again. Okay, there we have it. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. God offers you riches in Christ. Now, he might not give you $1 million because you might not need $1 million, okay? If you need $1 million to do what God calls you to do in this life, then I believe he'll give you $1 million. But otherwise, he gives us what we need. And the Lord Jesus, he came from heaven, from the riches of heaven to earth, to be born in a place unlike probably where any of us have been born, in a place more perhaps impoverished. And he lived a life. He didn't live, if Jesus were around in the times of Ferraris and Lamborghinis and stuff, I don't think he'd be driving one of those necessarily. Somebody might give him a ride in one at some point. But in any case, Jesus, he was not the richest of the rich in terms of his life here on earth. In terms of before God, he was. Because in his life, in his character, he always did those things which pleased the Father. He always said those things which pleased the Father. He was sent by the Father, and he did the will of the Father. And so in terms of spiritual riches, he was still rich in his character, in his life, in his testimony. And through the Lord Jesus coming down from heaven to earth to die for us, we can be made rich through his poverty. We can become joint heirs, co-heirs with Christ of all things. And you may not be rich as people might see it here on earth, but when we're with the Lord in glory, sharing all things with him, you will know for sure that you've been made rich in him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. So again, we're talking about everlasting life offered to you. So everlasting life offered, okay? I needed to look this one up in the dictionary to make sure I knew how to spell it last night. O-F-F-E-R-E-D. Okay. So there you have it, okay? So, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. In Ephesians we read about how we were dead in trespasses and sins, that without God and without Christ, we experienced separation from him, absent from the life of God, the eternal life of God, without salvation. But God is rich in mercy. Withholding the wrath that we deserve, God offers us salvation and forgiveness in Christ because of his great love. The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. And that's what Jesus did. He laid down his life for us. And at that time, we weren't even his friends. Okay, the love of man, the greatest love might be to lay down his life for his friends, but we were actually his enemies. And yet he laid down his life for us. And that shows just how great the love of God is. And if God has loved us that much when we weren't even his friends, how shall he not also with Christ freely give us all things, all that we need? And so it's by grace that we can be saved. And those of us who have faith in Christ, it's by grace that we are saved through faith. and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So again, we're talking about everlasting life offered to you. So now we'll do the word to. T? Oh. Okay. So here we are. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Christ came to redeem us, to purchase us out of our sins, to make us his children, that our sins would be forgiven. God says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But through Christ, we can experience God's great salvation. The Bible speaks of those of us who walk in the light, as Jesus is in the light, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us of all sins. And this is all according to the riches of his grace. Everlasting life offered to you. Okay, so now the word you. Why? Oh, you. Here we are. Okay. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? God's goodness leads us to repentance, a change of mind. When I was at that camp, I saw the good work that God had done in the lives of others. And it led me to have a change of mind about my life, to realize that my plans weren't best, that God's plans are best, and that whatever he wants, that's what I should want, not only that day, but forever. So the goodness of God leads us to repentance. The riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering. Oftentimes people ask, why does God allow bad things? Why does God allow evil to continue? Well, if God didn't allow evil to continue, we'd all be dead in an instant, because all of us are sinners and we still sometimes sin. But it's in his grace that he offers us days of grace during which people might be saved and might repent, being led to repentance by God's goodness. Everlasting life is offered to us in Christ. And so here we have our last one here. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Or you might say there's no difference between the American and the African, the Asian, the European, the Australian. No matter where somebody's from, the salvation that's offered is the same. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God offers salvation to all. But in order to receive it, people must receive Christ. Because the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. God says there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all. And if people reject Christ, or if you reject Christ, and you deny him till the day of your death, then you will die being without hope and without God. People might think they have hope. They might be following a religion which tells them that, well, they can hope they might get to heaven, that if their good outweighs their bad, or if things are just right at the moment they die, that they might get to heaven. But that's not the hope the Bible talks about. That's not sure hope. That's not certain hope. The hope that God offers us is a sure hope, a certain hope, and it's found in Christ. And God tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that if we have Christ, that we have life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So you might ask yourself this question, do you have the Son of God? Have you received him as your Savior? If not, if you realize God's calling you to himself, if you hear his word and you understand his word, why not invite him to be your Savior, to be your Lord today. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So we can have eternal life and we can know it through receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. And eternal life is offered to you today. If you haven't yet received it, I'd encourage you to receive it today. God doesn't promise us tomorrow. A friend of mine, the son of one of the elders in the church back home, died in a car accident this last winter. He was 26 years old. God doesn't promise us tomorrow, but by God's grace, we're here today, and we can receive his salvation today. And I trust that that friend of mine is in a far better place now, where there's no more tears, where God wipes away the tears from all eyes, and where there's no more death, no more sorrow, being with the Lord. In conclusion, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So if you've been seeking to get to God some other way, or if you've been denying God's existence or the reality and the need of salvation, I'd encourage you to consider God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you have questions as to scientific evidence of creation, or questions about the Bible, how we can know the Bible's God's word, I'd encourage you to ask somebody and to keep on asking until you get some good answers, because there are good answers out there. So I'd encourage you not to think that the questions you have nobody else has ever thought before. When I was maybe 16 years old or so, I used to think that, well, I had questions, but you know, other people, they just hadn't thought of these questions before, so I just needed to keep them to myself. Well, since then, I've found that that's not the case, that people have often had questions about God's word, and that God has answers, and that there are answers that make sense, and that can satisfy our intellectual curiosity and the mind God's given us, that he's called us to use to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, which endures forever. We thank you, Father, for your Son, who you sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. And Lord, we pray that if there's any here who haven't yet received you, that they might receive you now as their Savior, the one and only Savior, the only one who can save, the only one who can deliver from sin, that they might repent, that they might have a changed mind about their sin, realizing that it really is wrong and it really is an offense to you, and that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your salvation to each one who receives Christ, and we thank you for the privilege of sharing it with the world. And we ask that you would give us courage and boldness in doing so. We ask that you would help us to be setting our hearts and minds on things above, that we might be delighting in you, and that our heart might be inditing a good theme, and that we might recite our composition concerning the King, that we might proclaim his greatness and his majesty and your goodness, God. For truly, you are the awesome one, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. And we thank you for your grace in looking upon us and saving those who believe. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit working in us to give us the power to do what's right and good day by day. And so we ask, Lord, that we might do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with our God, that we might work out our salvation with fear and trembling, revering you, realizing how awesome you are, realizing our weakness, realizing your greatness, that we might respect and honor you above all others, that we might not fear men, but that we might have due respect and awe toward you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. God is good.